Hello and welcome to The Complete Works, an in-depth look into the career and filmography of Nicolas Cage. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me on this journey into the depths of true cagedom is my friend, co-host, and fellow cageaholic,
Mike DiCriscio.
How are you doing today, Mike?
Good, good. I think today's episode is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, you can say that.
It's going to be a fun one, I hope.
Right, for this episode, what we're going to do the entire thing in English, but we're going to redub it in Italian.
Yes.
Right? But then after that...
Mm-hmm. We're not going to stop there.
We're not going to stop there because we're going to do English subtitles for our Italian dubbing.
Yeah.
For our English-speaking listeners who want to watch the podcast.
You know, maybe we didn't think this all the way through.
But our English subtitles will be based on the Italian translation that we had, and so they'll be all broken up and incoherent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to Google Translate the Google Translate. right. And then not be able to understand it.
Right. It's like, who watches the Watchmen? Who translates the translators?
Exactly. Because that's what they did for this movie.
That is what they did for this movie. But we're going to get to the name of the movie in just a second. Let's paint a picture of the time period.
Okay.
It was the 1980s, you know.
At some point, yes.
Cocaine and Coca-Cola were all the rage. Right, those are the two things in the 80s.
Yeah, that's all that happened in the 80s.
Right, and we had reached a peak in Nicolas Cage's career. Like, he was riding high at this point, right?
Yes.
I think it's safe to say. He was coming off a string of critically and commercially successful movies, like Peggy Sue Got Married, Raising Arizona, culminating in Moonstruck, 1987's Moonstruck, which was such a huge hit.
Right.
And, you know, armed with this new star power, Cage, I think, did something kind of interesting. He chose to do a lot of really small, oddball projects rather than capitalize on his fame.
Mm-hmm. He pulled the cage.
This could be the first year of pulling the cage, actually.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase that we're going to do now? Pulling
the cage?
That's
a thing now, I guess.
That sounds vaguely sexual.
Like all good things, Mike.
Right. Like all good things related to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
That sounds vaguely sexual. but 1989 was a year when he did Vampire's Kiss, and he did a small cameo in the low-budget comedy Never on Tuesday.
Right.
And then finally, he played the lead in the Italian war drama Tempo de Uccidere, or in English, Time to Kill. Now, this movie was never released in the U.S., and that made it really difficult to find.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, we had some issues, Mike.
Yeah. But we persevered. We did what we could.
Yeah, so it's never released in the U.S. In theaters. Not in theaters. It never got a home video release in the U.S., as far as I know. It's not on DVD. You can't get it through Netflix. It's not available through their streaming service. It's not available on their DVDs. You can't get it on Amazon Prime or any other streaming service, as far as I know. not available to rent on iTunes. It's nowhere. This movie is nowhere. So, you know, I'm not one to advocate for illegal practices, but in this case, you know...
We had to be pirates.
We had to be pirates, you know.
For the sake of our art.
For the sake of our art. Of commenting on other people's art.
Yeah, pretty much.
We had to illegally download the movie. So it was a lot of work.
is what you're getting at? Say.
Well, yeah, because even then, even trying to illegally download the movie was kind of a project.
Yeah, turns out films never released in the U.S. or in English, probably.
Or on DVD, for that matter.
Or on DVD, yeah. Difficult to find with subtitles.
Right. So, I mean, I was first looking at, like, streaming sites to see if streaming sites would have them, and I was looking for, like, hours and couldn't find anything. And even, like, just looking for downloads of the movie was kind of tough.
Yep.
And then to find one with English subtitles, even harder. and so we finally found one, and we made do with the English subtitles that were available. However, they are broken English subtitles. They do not accurately portray what is being said in the movie.
I don't think they're even close.
Like, so there are some scenes where it doesn't bother me that much, and there are others where it's like...
Right, that's true.
Like, there are others where it's like all the words in the sentence are jumbled around in the wrong places.
Yeah, I still want to know what the phrase... So there's a scene right in the beginning where Nicolas Cage's character says, "I'm getting on the first truck to this town," and the response is, "But first, you must unmount the database." I want to know what that means. If only we could unpack that. I want to know.
I think there's a lot of meaning behind that.
What database? Oh,
man. So Tempo de Uccidere stars Cage as Enrico Silvestri, And an IMDb plot synopsis. Now, there's no actual, like, IMDb-approved plot synopsis, nor is there a Wikipedia synopsis. There is one user-submitted review, or synopsis on IMDb.
This is a pretty good preview of what the subtitles are.
Yeah, much like the subtitles, this is also in broken English, but I'll read the whole thing for you guys, because it's pretty great. And it's very matter-of-fact about the things that happen in this movie, like, very nonchalant about some horrifying stuff.
Yeah.
1936, Italian army is invading Ethiopia. Lieutenant Silvestri, suffering toothache, decides to reach the nearest camp hospital, but the lorry has an accident and stop near a rock, so Silvestri continues by walk. On his way, he meets and rapes a wonderful young Ethiopian.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh at that.
No, we shouldn't. Just the way it's said, though. On the way, he meets and rapes a wonderful young Ethiopian.
Oh, man.
He also wounded her when he shot to a wild animal and later kills her to avoid further pain. When he finally reaches the hospital, he realizes he gets probably leprosy. Trying to escape from Ethiopia, Silvestri will kill again. But surprises aren't still over.
You know what's even worse? That's better English than the subtitles. I forgot how well-written this plot synopsis was.
Yeah, like, who wrote this? Shakespeare? What is
But yeah, that's a pretty apt plot synopsis as far as IMDb goes.
Yeah, it actually tells you a lot about... It probably tells you most of, like, the first half of this movie, actually.
Yeah.
So Tempo di Uccidere was directed by Giuliano Montaldo and written by Montaldo Furio and... Giacomo Scarpelli and Paolo Virzi. And was based on the novel by Ennio Flano. The film also stars Ricky Tognazzi, Patrice Flora Parexo, Gianluca Favilla, and Giancarlo Giannini, who you pointed out to me was in Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Yes, yeah, he's. I think his Mathis is the character's name. He's like Bond's like old Italian bro. Like they go and hang out on his island, and then he ends up dead in Quantum of Solace. So spoiler alert for that movie, I guess. But yeah, I recognized him because he's a baller.
Yeah, cool. I didn't realize it was him, but that's very cool. And also, interesting note, the film does feature a score by Ennio Morricone.
So it's got that going for it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I love Morricone.
Yeah.
Always cool to see that. Otherwise, I mean, Giuliano Montaldo mostly worked in Italy, obviously, as a director. He did win an Emmy once for... directing a 1982 series based on Marco Polo, a miniseries, so he has that going for him as well.
Yeah, congrats to that guy.
So I guess now that we've got all that out of the way, Mike, what was your kind of overall reaction to Tempo di Uccidere, or Time to Kill?
Overall, I wanted it to be over so badly. Well, so there's the...
Are you saying you didn't have time to kill when watching this movie?
I wish this time had killed me. There's the scene that is so aptly put in the plot synopsis that he meets and rapes a wonderful Ethiopian.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the crux, everything, the drama is based on that moment when he cages... Truck breaks down, and he's like, I'm going to huff it to the next camp so I could get my tooth fixed.
Right.
And he comes across this woman in a lake, and he rapes her. Like, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Pretty brutally. I mean, it's like a really long scene, and it's awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then handled in the worst way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah. So, like, complete with struggling, her crying, no stop.
Right.
Cuts to later,
and she's basically in love with him.
Yeah, they're holding hands, laughing, smiling. He's like going through her bag, like looking at her Bible, like, look at all these trinkets I've got. And then she comes back later to like hang out with him in a cave. And then it was just so poorly handled that I kind of just mentally checked out after that. Was like, I don't.
Yeah, one, no, me too.
The subtitles make it impossible to follow.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was so poorly done that I checked out. That it's a real shame because that's about 25 minutes into a 90-minute movie.
Yes. Yeah. So you still have like an hour to go.
Yeah. I just wanted it to be over after that. And I thought it kind of the plot kind of revolves around Cage's character, like, having, he kills her by accident, and he feels terrible about it, because I guess he loved her, or whatever is happening. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of about him trying to deal with what if the tribe finds out, because it's, like, near the camp, and will he get court-martialed or something? But that's, like, 40 minutes of this movie, and then there's the whole other plot about, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I mean, I did think the movie was pretty well shot, like, it looked pretty good.
It did, and surprisingly, somehow, for a film not released on DVD, this is we got a pretty good quality copy of it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I was actually very surprised. Like, yeah, it was only released on VHS or something, and, like, you know, VHS doesn't usually look that good.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when transferred to a computer.
Exactly.
We actually had a very high-quality thing. And, yeah, I think it's abruptly edited. Like, scenes kind of just jump from one place to another without kind of, like, any kind of flow to it. Like, yeah. scenes will just abruptly stop and go to the next thing
right.
very fast.
Yeah, I agree there. And it it really all comes down to being the language barrier here, I think, adds right. to that.
Definitely, because... yeah. I mean, I wonder if I would have liked this movie more if I had, like, a real English subtitle track.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would have helped a lot.
but I think I would have really liked it more if I had just been able to see it in English, as it was originally... Like, it was originally filmed in English, right?
Yeah. That's, from what I've found, I don't know where this is from, but there's another blog with a similar idea called A Year in the Cage. They were doing watching as many Nicolas... Or trying to do all of the Nicolas Cage films in 1 year.
Right.
In 2013, it looks like, or 2012. So in this blog, they did a review of this film, and they said, the cast are all Italian actors. The director is Italian. Nicolas Cage is an Italian American, but the rest of them are actually Italian Italians. However, the movie was filmed in English, but the version we found was dubbed back into Italian, then translated that dialogue into English. So the subtitles are a terrible translation of a translation. Italian actors speaking English dubbed in Italian, subtitled in English.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's what's going on. I don't know where they found that out, but I would believe it based on
it's definitely what it looks like. It's what it seems like. And that's really, like, I feel like, you know, I think this movie has problems. Like, I feel like even watching it, like, not totally understanding what's going on, I feel like,
yeah,
you know, there are problems with the movie, but it is well shot. And I feel like I wonder if I would have liked it more if I could have, like, really, like, followed what was happening.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think I would have had a... easier time I don't know if I would have enjoyed it at
all. Yeah, I don't know if I would have, because that rape scene is bad. Like,
yeah,
it's really
terribly
bad,
hit.
And sets the tone for the rest of the movie, really. Like, it's really rough.
Yeah, it's very off-putting for the whole film. But I might have been able to not move past that, but at least come at the film a little more openly. I don't know how to put that.
Yeah.
But currently, that was impossible. So.
Yeah. Now, were there any scenes that stuck out to you as stuff that you maybe liked? Like, stuff that, stuff that, like, jumped out? Like, this wasn't bad. This was, like, solid.
Yeah, there was a scene where, because apparently the whole second plot of the movie is Nicolas Cage's character wants to get leave to go back to Italy.
Right.
To go see his wife, who he loves, apparently, also.
Right. We never see her.
We never see her. We see a picture of her, and that's it. And he also never talks about her other than I have a wife, as far as I was led to believe by these subtitles. But he's granted permission to go on leave, and him and his buddy are celebrating, and, like, an officer comes up and is, like, chewing them out for drinking alcohol. So he brings them back to his hut to, you know, we believe to reprimand them, but he busts out alcohol and he starts celebrating with them too.
Right.
And that's, Giancarlo Giannini, I think was his name.
Yes, that was his name.
Yeah. And he's a really good actor. So even though I didn't really know what was going on, he's still funny to watch. And that scene was pretty great.
Yeah, I think that's a really enjoyable scene. I kind of would have liked to see more of that in the movie.
Just any kind of, like, character.
Exactly, yeah. Like, otherwise, most of the movie is Cage, like, showing up somewhere and then leaving a few minutes later to go somewhere else.
Right. And yelling at them in whatever he's saying. That's about it.
So that seems a good indicator, like, just letting the movie slow down, have the characters, like, interact and talk with each other and kind of, like, have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And like there is like a really funny line in that scene where
that comes through in the subtitles,
which does come through in the subtitles, which was nice. Where the guy is like going on about philosophy, and he says, "Oh, do you know Nietzsche?" And Cage's friend goes, "Not personally, no."
and they all
laugh about it for a while.
But their reaction was so perfect. They all like spit take and like head thrown back and just like big belly laughs,
right?
Which was fun. It was like there's not much else going on in this movie. Yeah, I guess we'll wait for Cage specific things. I don't know. Although
he's the lead in the movie, so if you want to weave in stuff about Cage's performance, the thing is, it's hard to judge Cage's performance because his voice is dubbed by some other Italian actor.
Of course, that's what I was going to say. It seems like he's giving a very Cagey performance. However, it's dubbed by some other bro. So
right, there is one moment that struck me as like very Cagey.
Oh, is it? When
it's early on in the movie where he's like kind of wandering around by himself, and he comes across like an iguana, and and he's just like looking at the iguana like, "Hey, little guy, you want to smoke?" And he just like sparks up a, I think it was weed, right? It was like,
I think it was just a rolled cigarette.
It was just a cigarette. He just like gives the iguana a cigarette and watches the iguana smoke for a few seconds. It's like,
and he walks away. There's a lot of odd choices where the camera like will hang on stuff, like that iguana with a cigarette in its mouth on a rock for like 10 seconds.
Right.
It's like, why? I don't get it. Why? What are we doing? What are we doing here? Unless it's to say something about the colonizers corrupting the nature, but I don't think this movie has that. Although maybe it does, I don't know.
Yeah, we couldn't understand it.
I couldn't understand it, so maybe it's got that going for it, too.
Cage's voice is gone in this movie, replaced by somebody else. And that really hurts the movie, I think, because...
Absolutely.
You know, Cage's voice is like his greatest asset as an actor.
Yeah, we've said it every episode. We've mentioned what voice he's using.
Yeah, like it seems like every review we have, we like have to take note of whatever weird voice Cage is doing.
Yeah,
in his role,
and it's gone.
His voice is gone. So it's like, man. And I love, you know, he's a great physical actor as well. But like, I don't think he's doing that much in this movie that's like totally notable.
Right.
You know, like he's kind of just wandering around for most of the movie, wandering around and occasionally raping.
Jesus, you're so right. That's what this whole movie is. And then there's this whole other plot about him thinking he's got leprosy.
Right. Yeah, which was weird.
Which is odd, but I don't know. Just no.
I mean, yeah, like I... Like, the leprosy thing, I think, comes in about halfway through the movie, but, like, I didn't even catch that it was happening until, like, towards the end. Like,
I caught that it was happening, but I didn't get how they got there.
Yeah.
I think
the thinking was that, like, because he had sex with the Ethiopian woman, like, it might have transferred over to him.
And he has a cut on his hand from the truck accident that won't heal, and it's, like, infected, and he's, like, going crazy. But... There's a scene, apparently, I had to go back and find it, when he talks to the girl's brother, and he's asking her why she was wearing a white turban, and Cage is like, "She had leprosy, didn't she?" Blah, or whatever. And, like, this little kid just doesn't really say anything, so he just assumes he has leprosy, I guess. But I didn't pick up on that the first time, until he goes to, like, a field hospital and is like... I'm writing a novel about leprosy to the doctor. And he's like, "Can you tell me anything about it?" Like, to not give away that he thinks he has leprosy.
Yeah.
At that moment, I was so confused because I had missed the whatever broken subtitles the first time in the first scene with the little kid.
Yeah.
But then that's like the whole plot of the second half of the movie is that like, oh no, Cage has leprosy or whatever. But that was the scene where also I thought maybe it's trying to say something about colonization because the doctor is like onto him, I think. And he's like, "Oh, is the plot of your movie or the plot of your book going to be this and this?" And then he hits like a bunch of notes about the Odyssey and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what? I don't know. I just really, it's the fault of the subtitles for this, obviously.
I guess
it's just throwing stuff at us that like, we're only picking up half of sentences.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough. It's a rough watch, I think. I think even if the subtitles were working correctly, I feel like it would have been a rough watch. Like,
probably.
But because it is, like, you know, it's kind of abruptly shut. Like, it is abrupt, a lot of the stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, after the rape scene, I feel like I was just so not on board with this
that's
movie.
That's really the issue here.
Yeah. Like, it's really bad. Like, that's really all I've taken away from this. It's like, wow, that was bad.
Yeah, if you want a example of how not to do a rape scene, this is the one, I think.
Right. The good news is that you never have to watch it, because you'll never see this movie in any U.S. stores.
Yeah.
Or yeah, anything so like that, so...
Don't worry about it, everyone. We got you.
I feel like the only people who have watched this movie in the last, like, 20 years are people like us who are going through every Nicolas Cage movie.
I think you're right. I think you're probably right.
And had to go through the same hoops that we had jumped through in order to watch Tempo de Ultra Derce, and had the same annoyances as we did. Like, we're similarly upset by what they had to do.
Yep. So we can count ourselves among those numbers now.
Yeah, like, that elite group of Cage podcasters.
Oh,
man. But I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about Tempo de Ultra Derce or Cage?
There was another cagey moment I felt,
okay.
where the physicality takes over when there's a scene. He gets his leave. He gets to the boat and he's like rejected, or he can't get on the boat or something, and he like deserts and runs away.
Yeah.
And he runs into his buddy, whose character name is Major, apparently, which is Giancarlo Giannini.
Right.
And he's like, he doesn't tell him that he's deserting or something, I don't know. And they're like driving along, and Cage decides to rob the Major because he's trying to buy an illegal boat ticket or something back to Italy.
Right.
And the Major confronts him on the road, and that scene where he's yelling at him, but the subtitle, like the Italian dub and what the subtitles are, and I don't know, it was just, it added to the insanity of Nicolas Cage for that moment, because he's very over the top. He's like screaming, throwing his bag, and he's like throwing bullets off the road, and like, I don't know what was going on, but that moment stood out to me particularly as a Cage moment, so.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think this movie's a really interesting like outlier in Cage's career.
Yeah.
Like, it is like, I feel like every other movie that he's ever made, like, at least somebody will see it.
Right.
You know, like, and even, like, Never on Tuesday was released, like, it got a release, like, it was in America. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Jump-started a lot of careers, I think. Maybe not a lot, but featured a lot of people.
It had a lot of cameos, and, like, so, yeah, it was able to be sold as something that had a lot of people in it.
Right.
This is just basically just Cage as, like, the only star in this movie.
Right.
It was only released in, like, Italy and France.
Yeah, I really want to know the story behind this movie.
I mean, it was an Italian drama. I think the idea, casting Cage, I think the idea was that it might be popular enough where it could get a U.S. release.
Ah.
But it wasn't.
Right. Well, that's what is what I wanted. Like, why did Cage be like, you know what, I'm going to go do this Italian movie.
I mean, like, that's fine. Like, he can.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good,
like,
for him.
I kind of admire that. Like, yeah, again, he was like, he just come off Moonstruck. Like, you know, a movie that was nominated for a bunch of Oscars, and everybody really liked his performance in it.
Right.
You know, and... You know, after that, he did Vampire's Kiss, Never on Tuesday, and Tempo de Ultra Derce. Like, you know, Vampire's Kiss has gone on to be, like, a cult classic, and, like, it's powered by Cage's performance in that movie, but it's, like, certainly not the kind of movie you would expect a follow-up of Moonstruck, you know?
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
And I think Tempo de Ultra Derce is the same boat. Like, it's just not something that you would expect following something that was that successful.
Right.
But I think the next year of Cage's career, 1990... he made two major movies, and they kind of show, I think, both sides of Cage going forward.
Okay.
Right? It's going to be Firebirds, which is an action movie that Cage was in, and Cage has done his fair share of action movies.
Yes, he has.
And Wild at Heart, which is a David Lynch movie that Cage was in. And, you know, he's done his fair share of art house movies as well. And so I think, you know, we're going to get both sides of Cage going forward in the next two episodes, and it should be really interesting to watch and see.
Yeah, I'm excited because we're entering the decade of Nicolas Cage.
Do you consider 90s the decade of Cage?
I do, for me.
Okay.
I think.
Is that where, like, most of your Cage knowledge comes from?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Con Air, The Rock, Face Off.
Yeah. In a row. All three of those movies are in a row.
So good.
But we won't be getting into those for a while.
But yeah, I know those are still to come, but we're entering.
Down the line. We are entering the 90s, though. And yeah, got a lot of good stuff coming up. But anyway, yeah, so is there anything else about Tempo de Ujedere you want to talk about? Or are we pretty much...
No, I just want to congratulate us on having done it. We did it.
We powered through. We made it. We survived. We never have to talk about this again.
It's going to be wonderful.
All right, Mike, where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog. And if you enjoy Dungeons & Dragons, my friends and I stream our games at twitch.tv/geonerd79.
And you can find me at emmasmithfilmblog on twitter.com, as well as all my podcasts and stuff at filmbook.com, where I podcast about Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. And you can find our other podcast at filmbook.com as well, the Film Bookcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to Complete Works. I'm Mike Smith. That's Mike the Cree Show. If you're listening to this review of our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, take a moment to give us a review. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@filmbook.com. Please list the podcast you're emailing about and the title of your email, which has so many different ones hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Join us in 2 weeks where we will be discussing Nicolas Cage's role in the 1990 Top Gun ripoff, Firebirds. And you can check out this week's Film Bookcast where Mike and I will be reviewing The Witch. You excited about that, Mike?
Yeah. I'm nervous and excited because it's been a while and I don't want to be scared.
Yeah, well, I've seen The Witch and I can tell you it's very, very good. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about that. So that would be really cool. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We are out.